All right. Hallelujah. Well, morning, friends.
Morning.
How's everyone doing this morning?
Good.
Praise God. How many are expecting this morning? Have great, awesome anticipation. Anticipation of what?
Healing.
Healing in manifestation, or healing manifestation. Amen. How many know that that expectation is not something that can be cut short? You have to be confident in that. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that's part of it. So you're expecting all the way. Not in doubt. Questioning or in unbelief. So we have to be in all the way. Okay? Praise God. Let's give this time to Him. Father, thank You for Your presence in this place this morning. Thank You, Father, for Your awesome power. Thank You, Lord, for that which You've done, finished, and accomplished by Your cross, by the cross of Your Son, Jesus. Thank You, Father, in all things, by Your word, which goes forth in power to help us to get it, to really get it.
Yes.
Understanding, insight, revelation into the truth of that which is finished and which is rightfully ours already. Give You praise, Lord, for manifestation of healing in this place this morning. Thank You, Lord, for bodies made whole, hearts healed completely in the name of Jesus. Minds perfectly sound in the knowledge of You. Give You all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, it's healing class. That's in our Bible's book of Romans in chapter 4. I'm going to do my best not to take much time in the quick review before we get into the meat for today. Last week we started the topic, what's faith got to do with it? What's faith got to do with it? We're going to continue along those lines today. So, what's faith got to do with it, if you like, part two. And the subtitle for this, as we continue to settle down in class. Mission, patient endurance. Mission, patient endurance. Now, when we hear, with respect to faith, and as it concerns healing and walking in divine health, when we hear of patience or endurance, what comes to mind?
Taking
a long time.
Torture.
Torture.
Impatience.
Yeah. Yes. Good. Anything else? Yes.
Wait.
Sorry?
Yeah. Wait.
Wait. That is W-E-I-G-H-T or W-A-I-T?
Oh. W-A-I-T.
I-T. So wait. That is waiting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait.
You're right.
Yeah,
go
deeper, see?
Yeah, waiting a long time, so to speak. Okay, anything else?
I think,
Teresa.
I am a city girl, but I think of a farmer. Probably because of what I read in scripture about a farmer waiting on his crop.
Okay, all right. Anything else? Anyone else? Now, what can be said for all the responses we just shared at this time? What can be said concerning that? As an overall, if you're just going to give a summation of it, what's the leaning? Now, remember, we're talking, this is healing class, and we're talking about as it relates to what? Healing. Okay, so what does it tend to? All those points just mentioned.
Perseverance.
Sorry?
Perseverance.
Don't give up. Okay.
Is the key word you're looking for faith?
Faith, yeah, because we're speaking along the lines of faith. But, okay, go ahead.
I'm going to go negative. So it means you don't have it yet. It's like you're waiting for something that you do not
have. Waiting for something that you don't have. Thank you.
And I was just thinking, it's done.
It's done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's done. So, but here's, and we'll get into it as we go on this morning, friends. Thank you for all that input. The words we just shared and the leaning sometimes for what occurs when it feels like we're waiting a long time and it feels like, well, I'm not seeing the manifestation in my body. This condition is still ravaging my body. When we hear patience or when we hear endurance or patient endurance, what comes to our hearts, what comes to our mind by way of tendency, you had something? Did you have, was that a thought? I saw your hand go up. Okay, sorry. Thank you, Renee. Somehow leans on the negative. What do I mean? Because we feel, oh, because it's taking so long. When you hear what patient endurance, you think, okay, I just have to suck it up. I just have to stay there. I just have to deal with it. Well, you know, grow up or something, whatever. But we feel like, okay, this is something that we get to that point not long away. It feels like this is just something that I have to have. Or it is what it is, and so I can feasibly, possibly cope.
Yeah, deal with it. Mm-hmm.
But I'm wanting to shed a different light on, someone used the word persevering. What it means, it doesn't have to have a negative connotation is what I'm trying to say this morning. Mm-hmm. It does not have to have a negative connotation. In that moment, in that time, there is something that I am supposed to be getting into or doing or as it concerns my heart and my frame of mind, which is key, which is vital, which is important if you're going to see the manifestation of that which is done and which is fully yours already. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Romans in chapter 4. I'm going to buzz this because this is from essentially from last week, a quick review. We were at chapter 4. I'll take it from verse 17. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. Speaking concerning Abraham, it says, he was appointed our father. I'm reading from the Amplified. In the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. Or, as in another translation, who calls those things that be not as though they were? Here it is, friends. In this passage, as you look into your Bibles, I want to say and share this morning, it's important to grab this and grasp this. Here it gives a descriptor or a description of who? Of God. Look into your Bibles, verse 17. So God made the promise to Abraham. It says, in whom he believed. He believed in God. Who gives life to the dead? So God does what?
Gives
life to what? The dead. And speaks of those things that don't exist or non-existent things as though they did what? Already existed. So this is describing God. This is describing how he operates. And we'll see how that relates to us as believers, as sons and daughters of God, as Christians under the new covenant. But it's important to see that this describes God who gives life to the dead. We talked about the lepers in Luke 17, how that got verse 14, Luke 17, 14, he told the lepers, go show yourselves to the priests. So in their bodies, they still have that condition, the sores, the boils, and everything else associated with that condition. That is, being a leper, which made them outcasts, right? If we remember from 2 weeks ago. But he spoke of that as if what?
It already was.
That they were already whole. That they were already healed. Mm-hmm. So calling those things that be not as though what? They were. Go show yourselves to the priest. That was the only time they could go. And in faith, they stepped out. And the Bible says, as they went. So he called those things that be not as though they were. And guess what? And then they are.
Yeah, that's good.
That was the description for God, Jesus, express that, show that in his earthly walk and ministry, study the Gospels, the Synoptics. You'll see that play out over and over and over again. But they exercised faith in that. And every step they took away from the Master showed their trust in that word, even though they hadn't seen anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as they went, each one was able to see in his body, feel in his experience, the liberating power of God in ridding them of that condition. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's get back to it. We're in Romans 4. Quick recap here. Verse 18. For Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped in faith. Hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations as he had been promised. So numberless shall your descendants be. Human reason for hope being gone. And we talked about it's human reason. Did you hear that, friends? Human reason for hope being gone. So it's possible that in your experience, when you think about your health condition, it's possible that you look at that and think, this is permanent. It's possible you look at that and conclude that, oh, this is irreversible. It's possible you look at that, maybe because of how long it's been, how much medication you've been on, maybe some relief, but it's still there. It's still, still a bounce. How much time that's been. Now, maybe beyond even reports coming in, it's something that you can see for yourself and you're like, oh, it's still there. It's still attached. It's still me. It's not going. What's the hope? Human reason for hope being gone. In hope believed, as another version puts it. Have you been told it's incurable?
Yeah.
Does your mind tell you that based on what you see and what you feel, what you can sense, what you can experience, your senses? And I shared last week, I guess this will be, I'm trying to peg it here from last week. I said, can you get to that point where concerning yourself, you say, human reasoning for hope being gone. As it concerns me, you put your name there. But speaking of you with your name, I said, Sheon hoped in faith or in hope believed.
Yes, that's it.
That the manifestation occurs in my body and that XYZ, and I told you last week to fill in the gaps, is gone, is dead, dissipates. Whatever that condition is. Can we get to that point? Verse 19, Romans 4. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead. Why was it as good as dead?
Because he was like 100. He was old.
Yes. Yes. I'm still asking that. Good response. Thank you, Teresa. But why was it as good as dead? There's one word I'm looking for. It starts with I. Why was it as good as dead?
Impotent.
Yeah, impotent. Why was it as good as dead? There's something that seemingly, friends, I'm going to be honest with you this morning. There's something that when we look in the mirror, stares us right back in the face when we're walking through something. And I want us to be honest and I want to bring it up. I want us to deal with it this morning, friends. It's an I word. Why did the Bible say that? Let me read it again. Bible says he did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. Why was it as good as dead? What does that?
Impossible.
Impossibility. Impossibility.
Oh, and do I get a prize?
Absolutely. See me after class. I wish I had like a chocolate thing bars there or something that you like.
Can we open the door of the pot in here?
Absolutely. The back door, please, can we? That's why I wanted that open.
Yeah.
And we're going to work on getting other things in here so that we put it at an angle so that that can help us some. Impossibility.
Mary? And think about it too, the image of the impasse. It's like it's just, it had been so long, you know, it filled that up.
Hallelujah. So when we look
only
at a...
God can do the impossible.
Sorry?
Only God can do the impossible.
Hallelujah.
True.
Hallelujah. So, but for you to hold him to that, on your part, there's something that you have to be able to, there's a position where you have to be anchored in, secured in. Mm-hmm. To be able to say, oh, he can do the impossible. What does that engender? What does that bring to bear? What does that draw out from you, from your heart?
The fact that, well, for me, like I said, the first class, that he did it. He did it before. In conditions that doctor gave up and said, this is suspect. But he did it then.
Hallelujah. So he has a track record. Teresa?
Well, you have to bring up hope and that you don't doubt.
That you don't doubt or you don't waver. Mm-hmm. And all of that. Yes, Judy. Thank you, Teresa.
Evidence. The evidence for him wasn't showing that he was sick or cold.
Evidence. So, not looking at the scene, what can be seen or what can be observed or senses. Yep, through the natural eye. Teresa?
Another one was that fully persuaded.
Hallelujah. We're getting to that. Thank you, Teresa. Yes. Todd, thank you, Teresa.
And being fully persuaded, you share a joyful noise.
Hallelujah.
It's showing God that you trust him. Mm-hmm.
You know? Hallelujah. Trust is the word I was looking for. And we put it all together. It's trust. Being fully persuaded, trusting. And friends, I tell you this, hear me say it. Trust is not something that you just mouth or I just mouth. I say, I just trust him, I trust him, I trust him. Heart question, heart-wise, do you trust? Do you really trust him? Do you really believe? Do you have faith in God? Is that unshakable? So, here I am. I share this. Sometimes we say something, but then what's in the heart? What are the questionings going on there? What's the analysis going on there? For those of us that, some of us are very cognitive and we want to dissect it, cut it all the way, use words and, paint a good picture, a glorious picture. Yeah, Lord, but you said, how does this, and why is this, and someone mentioned not wavering or not doubting. These are things we need to be aware of, conscious of, and they're tools that we can utilize to rise above those challenges. Because in the world we live in, I will share with you, things happen.
Oh, yeah.
We face things. We experience things. We go through things. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And we keep our eyes on him. So, thank you, friends. Now, when you consider and look at your body, and sometimes see how that condition has affected you, maybe the effects of it, how you walk, how you talk, how you move, what you do, what you wear, and all of that stuff. Wow. It's possible to then reach that conclusion that, this is irreversible. This just can't be addressed. What's that situation? What's that circumstance today? And today, as I get into this particular aspect of mission, expectancy, I'm using different terminologies now, being fully persuaded and all of that, as you get into that today, what's that situation? What's that circumstance? I've mentioned impossibility. How many know that's not a word in his dictionary?
Right.
In quote, in his vocabulary. No, it's not. That's for us. We are the ones that reach those conclusions based on all the things we've talked about, what we see, what we feel, what we experience, and what we've carried for such a length of time. Is it arthritis? Migraines? Consistent migraines? A skin issue? Cancerous growth? An injury? with long-lasting effects on our bodies, on our frame. Is it a lung issue? Is it a kidney concern? Does it have to do with eyesight? Hearing? The stomach, the knees, ankles, heart issue. And not just emotions now, but in the physical heart. What is that situation? What is that circumstance? What is that condition? Sleep apnea, cold, whatever, however the list or the gamut from top to bottom, all the same, infirmities, diseases, all of this stuff which Christ paid the price for in full on that cross. When he had you in his heart, not just in his mind, but in his heart. When he took it all upon himself. The Bible says in Romans 4 here, as we consider this subject this morning, friends, that he did not weaken in faith. What about other things? Anger, anxiety, panic attacks, fear. The list is endless, friends. Bible says he did not what? Weaken in faith. What was the key? How come he didn't weaken in faith, friends? Let's look at verse 20. No one believed, Romans 4, no one believed or distrust made him waver or doubtingly question concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. And I shared how that we never underestimate the power and the effect of giving praise and glory to God. Okay? And I related that to the lepers last week. But I'm going to skip this morning. What is the effect of giving praise and glory to God?
Showing you trust him.
Victoria?
Takes the focus away from you,
from your situation, from your circumstance. For those things that we see that pull us down in those stakes, in the high stakes of drawing conclusions based on a report, doctor's report, something you've been told, something you see, something you experience, something you sense. It takes your focus off of that to who? To God. And as that focus takes place, you are then able to key in and anchor on truth, which you get in God's word by God's word, and then prayer.
Amen.
God's word and prayer. And that's what we'll end on and close today. Someone, Teresa, was that you?
Well, you had asked him, it said after he gave glory to God, he became fully convinced that God had the power to do what he had promised. So after he had given praise and glory, then he became fully convinced about God's ability to do the impossible.
Hallelujah. And we're going to get to that. Thank you, Teresa. Let's look at verse 21, friends. Look into your Bibles. I don't know what versions we have. I'm going to read from the Amplified. Verse 21. So, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith, verse 20, as he gave praise and glory to God, fully satisfied and assured. Our version says fully persuaded, which is what it is in the Greek. To be fully persuaded, to be fully convinced is what it is in the Greek. It says fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. Being fully persuaded. I want to add here, friends, that when it says fully satisfied, I want to give a quick angle. Now that means when we talk about being fully persuaded or fully convinced, and as the Amplifier puts it, being fully satisfied and assured. Friends, being fully satisfied in God. I'll repeat that. Being fully satisfied in God and assured that what he said or what he promised he was also able to perform.
Yes.
Why have I said that or phrased it that way? When you take that focus, when you give glory to God or give him praise, as we just shared, he takes your focus off that which ails you to God himself. You have to be in that place. What giving glory to God, the effect that he has, and giving praise to God, the effect that that has, is that it puts you, it places you in that spot, in that location, in that realm where you're fully satisfied in God, who, to be honest, friends, is your exceeding great reward. In the person of God himself. That's one. Second, it shows and is a token that you're fully satisfied in him and with him. There's an assurance, friends. There's a confidence that results. There's a conviction that comes out of that. Wow, time. Now, you cannot be fully satisfied in God, fully persuaded in him, fully convinced in him, in faith, while, for example, you're mad at him, angry, consciously or unconsciously, pin the reason for whatever that condition is, ascribing it to him for whatever reason. If you're in that spot where you think, oh, yeah, maybe he placed this on me, he's teaching me something, or he's is for some better good or something. If any of those permutations dwell in your mind or in your heart, in whatever guise or reflection, that places you in a spot where you truly, in the fullest sense, can't be and can't show satisfaction in God. Satisfaction in him.
Yeah, yeah.
For who he is. Yeah. And we're going to get to, oh, he can do only, you know, the impossible. I used to say this, that he, my God, he specializes in the impossible. From what I went through. All I've been through in my life, I say, oh, that's what his realm. He's God that specializes in the impossible. That's his remit. That's where, yes, I am God. Yeah. And I'm saying, what's that situation? What's that circumstance today? I just came to tell you. It does not have the tag of impossibility on it. And that a price was paid. And that the fullness of that price, in effect, is yours already. And it's how to key into that, which is what we're going to see now, which is what we're going to, by the grace of God, just get into in his word expressly. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Fully satisfied, assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. So, post-cross, first port of call as far as keys. I mean, I've been saying several things, but something else I want to point out. Post-cross, we see and understand that, as you said, Ms. Doris, God, and as God's word reveals expressly, God, friends, has already performed. As it concerns healing an elf, it's a done deal. Ephesians 3:20. Let's turn there. I want us to look into our Bibles. I want us to see it together. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. We're going to take a couple of scriptures just to flesh this out. And as we go over to that passage, as we read, I want us to realize that the reality, understanding, and revelation of Ephesians 3:20 must be very clear to us. Can someone read? Who's there? Popular passage.
New King James.
Please go right ahead.
Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us.
Amen. Did we see that? According to the power that works within us. And so, friends, in our private study, we're going to take that from verse 14. So put it down, Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 14 through 20. Here's one I want to quickly share this morning. Number one,
It says, unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Other versions say fathom, imagine, and different things in there. Paul here is, what is he doing? There's something that he's doing in that quick passage. Because of time, friends.
He's expanding our horizon of hope.
Expanding our horizon of hope. In what? Thank you, Teresa. In doing something. Friends, let me read it from the NIV and then let's see if that gives a clue, okay? New International Version. Now to him who by his power within us is able to do far more than we ever dare ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church through Christ Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. That's the Phillips. Beg your pardon. What is he doing? What was Paul doing? And so here it is, friends. It was a prayer. From verse 14, to whom I bow my knees. And then he goes on in expressing what Teresa just said, expanding, expatiating on hope. But it's a prayer. And in this prayer, it says, now unto him who is able to do. So friends, in this passage, two things. Number one, emphasis isn't on what. Hear me clearly and hear my heart. Emphasis isn't on, what God is able to do or what he's about to do. Hear me clearly. Emphasis is not, this is, again, and there's several in the New Testament, as you read, as you study it out. This is a description in ascribing glory to God in this prayer. In ascribing glory to God, this is a description of who God is. Like a description of who God is.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Who God is. Mm-hmm. Remember when we said we're zoning in on God and God himself being satisfied in him and all of that. It's who God is. He's the one who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. How? How is he able to do that? In this time, in this age, in this season, in this generation, how is he able to do that?
According to the power that's in us.
That's where? The power in that's me. Where?
In me.
In me, yeah. In you, in us. Mm-hmm. And hear me, friends. And that's why I like it in the New International Version. It says, according to his power that is at work in me. Mm-hmm. So God's power is at work where? In you. So in trying to tie it together, very limited time, in trying to piece this together, friends, here's what I'm saying. Beyond what he's able to do, if our hearts can focus and grasp what he has done, one, and then the witness and the testimony to that in him, placing his presence and his power where? Inside you. God did not live himself without a witness or testimony in this regard. The witness or testimony to the done. To that which is done. Witness and testimony to that which is done. And say, okay, it's done. Here's the witness. I dwell where? I have chosen to tabernacle where? In you. In me.
Thank you, Jesus.
1 Corinthians 6:19, you can put it down. 3 weeks ago, I talked about, from Ephesians, habitation of God by his Spirit and several other passages in that nature. Mm-hmm. Again, unto him is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works where?
In
you. You know, because of time, let's turn to Romans 8:9. We're just going to read it. And I'm going to give that as an assignment, but I want you to take a look at that. Mary, you had a thought, and I'm going to allow you to share it.
You are?
Yeah, just give me a quick moment. So as you read this passage, here's the assignment. Go home, and I want to encourage you, meditate on this, and say, Holy Spirit, just open this up to me. Okay? Romans in chapter 8, verse 11. I beg your pardon. Romans 8:11. Who's there? Can someone read?
And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit who lives in you.
He'll give life, mm-hmm. vitality, strength, renewal, rejuvenation to your body by his Spirit. Who dwells where?
In me.
So I just said all of that to say, friends, we need to open up our hearts and get to that space of getting to see, recognize, appreciate the value of in me, the value of he that is in you, the value of he that dwells on the inside of you, and the power of that reality in your life. Mary, you had a thought.
In Ephesians 3:20, where it says that he's able to do exceeding abundantly according to the power that worketh in us, and it's tied in with Philemon 6 in the King, that the communication of our faith may become effectual. And that word means operative, active, working, and living by acknowledging every good thing that is in us.
Hallelujah.
In Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That's how it starts working.
Amen. That's the value.
Can you read that again? I'm sorry.
Philemon 6.
What version?
It's in the King James version.
Go ahead. Can you read it, please?
Okay. Mm-hmm. The communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And effectual means operative, active, working, and living. Mm-hmm. And that goes with Ephesians 3:20.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. That communication, friends, can only come by, that communication or acknowledging can only come by, one, sorry, communication can only come by acknowledging and accepting that as truth for you. For you. Accepting God's word as true for you concerning you and your situation, your circumstance. Yes, Doris?
Yes, sir. And I was just thinking that word worketh, mm-hmm. when I researched that, that means continually.
Hallelujah.
That worketh in us, that Hallelujah. Means continually. Is it continually working?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Us.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
And my hope is as you start this out, friends, you'll see that he works in you
yeah.
by his Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. What does this consciousness bring? What does this awareness bring? This power, the power and the ability, the right and the authority God has already given to you. How are you wielding that? How are you operating in this? How are you working in this? What effect is this having on your life, in your experience? I had someone share a testimony with me last week, and I'd love for her to just share it with us as well, as briefly as possible. Gail?
Okay.
Do you care?
Can I tag on to that? Because I was talking with him this morning about that verse that says, hope deferred makes a heart sick.
Mm.
And I've always heard that as if you don't see your what's coming to pass, then your heart is sick because it hasn't happened. But this morning it occurred to me that I'm deferring my hope, and that's what's making my heart sick, because I'm not staying in hope, and that's what happened to me last week.
Mm.
As I was driving in, and I've had this shoulder issue for quite some time, and the pain was yelling at me that morning, and my hands were gripping the steering wheel, and they were hurting, and it was spreading across my chest and down my arm and in my arm, my hands, and I'm like, what is this? What is going on? And I remembered Pastor Mike says, where's your go-to verse? So I was thinking, you know, you're panicking, where's my go-to verse? But I have these scripture cards I carry with me all the time on my 3x5 cards, and I pulled those out of my purse, and I just started speaking the word over that situation, and I declared that Luke 9:11, that I have the power and authority over nothing biting me shall hurt me, and the stronger I got, the more I said it, that word worked in my mind in that pain, and that pain faded and was gone.
Hallelujah.
And I continued to drive, and then, yes, and praising God at the time. So,
hallelujah.
So I think that's very key, that we have to remember, don't defer your hope. And Romans 15:13 says, may the God of your hope, he's the God of our hope,
mm-hmm.
so fill you with all joy and peace in believing.
That's our believing. It gives us that joy and peace that you may abound and be overflowing by the power of the Holy Spirit that gives you that hope. And that Holy Spirit is the one in us that gives us that power and that hope.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's exciting. That's exciting. You know, I want to just touch on the scripture now that just gives a quick overview and paraphrase for what we've been looking at in Romans in chapter 4. And we don't need to turn there. That's Hebrews in chapter 6 from verse 13 through 15. Hebrews in chapter 6. We can put it down. Hebrews 6 from chapter 13 through 15 gives an overview of what we've been looking at. And I want you to see the reality of the done, okay? It says, for when God made promise to Abraham, it says, because he could swear by none greater, he did what? He swore by himself, verse 14, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, multiplying I will multiply you. And Bible says in verse 15, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained what? The promise. After he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. That's just a quick summary of all we just looked at in Romans in chapter 4. And what am I saying this morning? Patient endurance is not sitting down and moping. It's not associated with the negative things. Patient endurance is not, oh, just remaining with that infirmity or pain or saying, well, this is my lot, this is my portion. Some who say, que sera, sera, or whatever it is. It's not just sitting and thinking and believing that nothing is going to happen. That's not what patient endurance is. Saying, oh, nothing's going to, in your mind thinking, I'm saying one, but I'm thinking, oh, nothing's going to happen because guess what? In the past, nothing has happened. So far, nothing has happened. Thus far, nothing has happened. What do I have to hold on to show me, to reveal, to make clear that, oh, something is going to happen, that there's going to be change in this situation, in this circumstance. And that's where the enemy wants to hold us. That's the law he wants us to get to into. That's the trap where he wants to keep us bound. We're in our thinking, in our mind, in our hearts, thinking, well, it's a lost cause. Patient endurance, friends, is obedience to God. What do I mean by that? And so I'm just going to open it up real quick from Romans 4, those five verses we looked at, and I'm going to show us what patient endurance is, what we're supposed to gravitate towards, what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to be in expectation. What is patient endurance? This is just going to be a quick recap of Romans 4. What is it? Patient endurance. So remember, it's mission patient endurance. It's not mission impossible.
Amen.
So erase that quickly from our minds. What's that infirmity? What's that sickness? What's that disease? It's not mission impossible. So let's push that to one side. Mission patient endurance. And I've told you what it's not. Now let's see what it is. Verse 18 from Romans 4. I'm just paraphrasing. In spite of what he could see and knew, human reason for hope being gone, he hoped in faith. So patient endurance. Number one is hoping in faith. Hoping in faith. Another version says, in hope he believed. So patient endurance from Romans 4:18 is hoping in faith. And hope under the New Covenant, under the Greek, is joyful and confident expectation. So if we put it all together, patient endurance is hoping in joy, in joyful and confident expectation, he believed. Hoping in faith, joyful and confident expectation, hoping in faith. Number two, verse 19, he did not weaken in faith. So patient endurance is what? Not weakening in faith. Not weakening in faith. Number three, from verse 20, no unbelief or distrust made him waver or doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. So patient endurance does not suffer unbelief or distrust. That is, it does not allow it. Does not give room. Patient endurance does not allow, give room to, or suffer unbelief or distrust. In other words, patient endurance does not waver or doubtingly question. So patient endurance does not. I'm fleshing it out, what patient endurance is. Number four, patient endurance from verse 20, grows strong Patient endurance grows strong by giving glory and praise to God. Patient endurance grows strong by giving glory and praise to God. And number five, patient endurance is being fully satisfied in God and assured that God is able. Being fully satisfied and assured that God is able. And so, friends, patient endurance in this way, based on this five quick points, when this grips your heart, when this has a hold over your soul, your consciousness of who you are in Christ, when this grips your heart in faith, when this conviction hits you, then you yourself, me, all of us as believers, you get to that point where you also, when this hits you, when this grabs a hold of your heart, you also get to that spot and that point where you can do what? You can call those things that be not as though they were, and then what? They are. Concerning that situation, concerning that circumstance, concerning that issue, concerning that health thing, you can speak to that. No holds barred.
No.
Blue eyes encounter.
Yes.
Wow. There's no time. I was going to share that experience I talked about 3 weeks ago about, you know, the heart attack and what they were seeing in the hospital, all the reports, and saying, oh, sir, you're having a heart attack. And I said, no. So guess what, friends? There was a word that I said to my wife right there. I said, they can do all their research. I said, they're not going to find anything in me. I said, the evil one has nothing in me. Okay, I said, the evil one, I told my wife, I said, the evil one has nothing in me, so they can do all the scans, they're not going to find anything consistent with a heart attack. They were seeing it. Friends, you can't do anything about what they are seeing on their scales, on their scans, or in their reports. You can't do anything about what they're seeing, but you sure by God can say something about that which is occurring in your body. That thing trying to ravage you has no right there, has no place there. Has no abiding place there, has no staying place there. Hallelujah. And so you can speak to that thing. That scripture, friends, is from John 14:30. Put it down. John 14:30. Jesus said that. And friends, on the face of it, I'm just sharing now. On the face of it, I can tell you directly, it has nothing to do with healing. But I'm saying when God's word hits your heart by conviction, you can speak life in that area. Amen. Based on what's in your heart. Amen. What's residing in your heart. You get that word and you speak it out in faith, and guess what? Things change. They can say, you're having a heart attack. Oh, end of day, it's not a heart attack. That thing's been reversed. You can reverse that thing by the power of God dwelling on the inside of you. You can speak life and see change, literally. I mean this, friends. And we've seen this too. Ronnie, you've seen this. We've seen this. I repeat. Forgive me, time is fast, but it's important. Let me say, I repeat, you may not be able to say anything about what they're telling you, the reports, right, what the paper says, right, what the magazine said, what the book says, but you sure by God.
Amen.
And by the power of God and the authority of Jesus on the inside, you can say, okay, this is exactly what's happening in my body. Amen. Now. That thing is dying to death. Amen. Let's rise up. Let's rise up, friends. Prayer team member, would you come? Yes.
There's no enemy within. The enemy without can do you no harm.
Hallelujah.
And that's just what I got from that.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Friends, let's close our eyes. And please don't be bashful today. I beseech you by the mercies of God.
Yes, God.
I want you to do something for me. I want you to open your mouth. We've been talking about this activation and talking. But right now, you can do it under your breath or however, but you need to open your mouth. And I need you to speak by yourself, concerning yourself in that situation and circumstance. Give it that command now. Yes. Open your mouth and talk. Don't worry about who's next to you. You can call that thing by name. Arthritis, call it by name. Say, you're gone now in the name of Jesus. Cancer, you die to death right now. You have no abiding place in my body. Speak it, whatever that situation is concerning you. Constant panic attacks, anxiety, migraines, whatever it is. Skin condition. Broken bones.
right now. Speak it. Speak it. And what's the word? What's the word? What's the word given to you by the Holy Ghost? What's the word? What are you standing on? Say that out in faith. Speak it out. The ruler of this world has no claim on you. He has nothing in you. There's nothing he can, nothing he can use against you. Command the power of God to come to bear on your body and change situation and circumstance. Father, I thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see change in this room. I see healing manifestation breaking forth in this room this morning. Father, I thank you for liberation as by your spirit. Release right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So where you're standing, you just want further agreement. I want you just step out into the aisle and just make your way forward as well as we close out this class. Father, I thank you. Thank you for healing made sure. Thank you, Father, for wholeness in our bodies. Thank you, Father, for the price paid and the full effect of it in our body here and now. Give you all the praise and glory, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, because we choose our hearts to focus on you, to stay on you. We choose to believe your report that by your stripes we were healed. And because we were healed, we are healed. In the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's our argument in faith. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
So be on the lookout. You're walking free. I see you walking free. Walking free, walking free, devoid of that condition. Free from it completely. Because he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so you're free. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God.